1948. That's the year.
I know.
Figure it out.
Got you, bud.
1991. The time is 8. 8:18:17. We have a quorum. We have Representatives Choquette, Ruckman, Baker, Miller, and Cabina. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 91 relating to jurisdiction of district court. House Bill 234 relating to assignment of rights to permanent fund dividends, and SCR 20 relating to Kodiak Island at the Bicentennial City pending referral. I believe it is referred. Let's do SCR 20. Get it out of the way. Comments, state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Tom Tamaroff from Senator Jarrett's office. First of all, Senator Jarrett, I'd like to want him to pass along his appreciation to you for the expeditious scheduling of this resolution. SCR 20, very briefly, resolves that the legislature recognize Kodiak Island as a bicentennial community and urges the citizens of Alaska to support Kodiak Island and the Kodiak Island Visitors and Conventions Bureau in their endeavors and celebrations of the 200th anniversary of Kodiak's colonization. The current site of the city of Kodiak was colonized by Alexander Baranoff Bonds in 1792. The Kodiak Island Convention Visitors Bureau has formed a planning committee to coordinate activities and events as well as promote the bicentennial year. Their plan is to commence a celebration this August during the 25th anniversary performance of the outdoor historical drama called The Cry of the Wild Ram, which is a historical drama about Baranoff's time in Alaska. This resolution is real similar to one the legislature passed earlier this session relating to Kenai as a bicentennial community in 1991. That's basically all I have. I'd be happy to answer the committee's questions.
Questions from the committee, Representative?
Oh, questions? No, I wish to move the bill.
Any questions from the committee? Comments from the committee?
Super idea.
Representative Choquette.
Move to ask the Senate for current resolution 20 to pass out of committee with individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? If you have no objections, SCR 20 is passed to the committee. On the recommendation.
Put those things downwind. But I'm starting to drool. It's a terrible thing you're doing to you, buddy.
The next item on the agenda will be House Bill 91 by the House Judiciary Committee by request of the Alaska court system. House Bill 91 will place all actions against the state that do not exceed $50,000 under the jurisdiction of the district court. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Chris Christensen. I'm the staff counsel to the Alaska court system. Current law provides that the Superior Court has jurisdiction in civil cases exceeding $50,000 in value. The district court has jurisdiction over claims not exceeding that amount. However, current law also requires that all actions against the state be brought in Superior Court regardless of the size of the claim. This has resulted in situations like one which took place recently in Fairbanks when the Superior Court was used to try a $2,000 claim against the state. Not only is $2,000 significantly less than the maximum amount of the district court's jurisdiction, it's significantly less than the maximum amount of small claims jurisdiction. This particular restriction on district court jurisdiction was enacted at the time of statehood, when district court judges were not required to be attorneys. The prevailing view at the time was that cases in which the state was a defendant shouldn't be decided by a court presided over by a person who was not learned in the law. Today, however, this distinction is an anachronism, since a district court judge must be licensed to practice law in Alaska and is subject to essentially the same appointive and retention election processes as our superior court judges. HB 91 basically proposes to treat the state like any other litigant by making it subject to the jurisdiction of the district court when the matter in controversy does not exceed $50,000. I'd be happy to answer any questions that members might have.
I like this bill, Mr. Chairman. There's no questions. I'd move the bill.
We passed that $50,000 like 2 years ago, but we bumped everything down
through the chair, Representative. I believe it was last year we moved it up to $50,000. It's been moved up two times in about the last 5 or 6 years.
Because I know the concern at that time was because of the overcrowding in the Superior Court. Have we seen any deterioration? numbers where the cases are starting to shift out in the district court.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller, we, at the time that, I believe that bill was being pushed by Representative Grunberg last year, and at that time we thought that $50,000 was probably the maximum amount we should have, and we figured it would take several years for us to really see whether or not there was any effect. So at this point in time, no, because it has been less than a year to this operation.
See, real what backlog there is in the courts is really in the Superior Court, not in the district courts.
Mr. Chairman, over the last few years, the Superior Court has had an increase in its caseload, and the district court has either remained the same or had a decrease, depending on which part of the state you're talking about. I would note, however, that I think the primary motivation behind this bill is not necessarily shifting the caseload. That's a benefit. But the primary motivation of the Supreme Court in proposing it was it's simply a matter of equity. If it's fair to sue a private citizen of the state and district court if their claim is for $10,000, why isn't it fair to sue the state and district court for a claim of that size?
Any comments from committee? Questions?
I think you relieve my concern about the backlog. I mean, but I also see where certain cases would continue to be submitted to court. Could you go into that a little more?
Yes, certainly. Through the chair, Representative Ruckman, certain kinds of cases are never within the jurisdiction of the district court, regardless of the size of the claim. For example, all appeals from administrative agency decisions. Matters involving the procurement code or contracting are within the jurisdiction of the Superior Court, regardless of the size of the claim. And that's really a separate sort of issue. This bill deals primarily with tort claims when someone is suing the state for some sort of injury that occurred.
Would you say that are the qualifications for a district judge and a superior judge any different?
Mr. Chairman, a Superior Court judge has more responsibility and is paid a slightly higher salary. In recent years, in the past, I would say that there was a difference perhaps in the quality of the judges. In recent years, you get many of the same attorneys applying for openings on both benches. And in fact, we recently had a situation in Anchorage where we're attempting to fill a Superior Court judgeship, and the Alaska Judicial Council recommended the three names it sent to the governor, or at least two of the three names it sent to the governor, were district court judges who were currently on the bench. I think the quality of the district court has come up dramatically over the last decade, and I think most attorneys who practice in front of it would tell you that.
Is there a district court judge in Valdez right now?
I'm not entirely certain, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to check on it.
I'd like that checked out.
Is that an amendment, Mr. Chairman?
No. Any other questions on the bill? Representative
Shulkin. No questions, Your Honor.
I'm ready for a motion.
I move this bill to leave committee with individual recommendation and ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 91 is moved from the State House First Committee with individual recommendation. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 234 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. House Bill 234 sets in statute an existing regulation in the state administrative code which prohibits the assignment of a permanent fund dividend to anyone by a government agency. We have someone from the department speak on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Tom Williams. I'm the Director of the Permanent Fund Dividend Division of the Department of Revenue. As previously stated, this legislation would adopt into statute a regulation which was previously adopted on April 1st, 1989 in response to an ever-growing problem involving the purchase of permanent fund dividends. Mr. Chairman, I have a schedule here that shows, or a graph that shows the growth of the dividends over the past few years, starting with 1986 and proceeding on through 1988, where it reached its peak. And in 1989, the department adopted the regulation, although there was one company, Frontier Financial Services, which attempted to circumvent the regulation. The buying and selling of dividends led to a great number of duplicate and fraudulent applications, seriously jeopardizing the integrity of the PFD program. Despite the adoption of the regulation, Frontier Financial Services continued to buy dividends through the 1989 dividend year and filed suit against the state when the division refused to honor those assignments. Actually, they weren't in the form of an assignment, but it was essentially the same thing. Frontier Financial Services asked for injunctive relief. Superior Court denied their request, in part based on the state's argument of usury, and at this point, the PFD division went ahead and paid the original applicants. The Supreme Court refused to review the denial, and Frontier Financial Services is currently challenging the legality of the regulation. If they should win, it would open up, if the regulation should be declared invalid, it would open up a terrible mess in this particular year. Consequently, we would like to see this legislation enacted to ensure that we don't end up with all sorts of fraudulent and duplicate filings, as well as the problems associated with usury.
So in other words, this was going to take the regulation and make it law that way, no matter how the court takes it, comes out, we're covered.
That's correct.
And what you want to stop is people that are selling it for a percentage of, this would not affect in any way, shape, or form the fund being garnished by somebody, as happens sometimes, like somebody that's not paying their child support.
They have no effect on the garnishments. In fact, you can't assign your dividend, and those garnishments much like have a better chance of occurring. The chart shows that we ended up with nearly 10,000 assignments to the buyers. Again, this bill still allows the assignments, but just assignments to government agencies. And we have Mr. Jeff Bush here from the Attorney General's office to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions of revenue?
No, thank you.
Representative Brennan?
I don't have a question or a comment. That is a terrible problem, and it was horrible to see the folks that were selling them for 50% of the value. Kind of thing. So, support this, but question would be for the chair. What about the family? In other words, you couldn't assign to somebody in your family, only to government agencies, as you described.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and that is essentially how it's been operating for 2 years, and we believe it's very workable.
Any other questions of revenue? Thank you, Mr. Williams. Mr. Bush?
Chairman, my name is Jeff Bush with the Attorney General's Office. I really don't have any testimony. I was here mostly to answer questions regarding the litigation, which is ongoing. And I guess I can briefly say that the Department of Law, from the first time that regulation similar to the one that was finally adopted in '89 was attempted, it was attempted first back in 1982, and the Department of Law has had serious concerns about it all along. And so I think we can candidly say that we support this bill because we are at least concerned about the litigation that's ongoing.
Sam Breckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would this bill be retroactive? And I don't understand how current litigation would be affected.
Through the chair, Representative Breckman. No, whatever happens with the existing litigation, we're going to have to essentially live with. The only case that it affects is Frontier Financial Services, which was 1989 assignments. There have been essentially none since then. No one challenged it in 1990. Nobody attempted to challenge the regulation in 1990. And there have been no sales. So we're going to have to live with whatever the consequences of that 1989, whatever the court says, we're going to have to live with. But it's to prevent future problems.
Other questions from the committee? This committee is always trying to be helpful to the governor and his staff. We'll try to be so.
Anything for Bell Lees here?
He leaves that comment. comments from the committee? Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is good legislation. And because I really believe that, and I remember as Representative Breckman does, that
there's a lot of people that could ill afford for people to take an advantage of them. But the people that sold those dividends are those that needed them the most. So I'm happy that this comes forward.
Any other comments? Set the motion?
So move, I guess, with individual recommendations. I'd like it to be unanimous. But
I think it won't.
Are you fishing here?
I'm just kind of testing the water.
I
move with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving House Bill? If hearing no objection, House Bill 234 is moved from committee with individual recommendations. We could do a resolution. We have time. Should we move on today?
Did Max bring the letter? Tuesday, I gave Max. You got that, didn't you?
And I believe it was turned back to your staff. If we're talking about the same letter.
Well, I could call and see if I could have it here in a few seconds.
I talked to Jim Moore about it.
We have a motion.
Yeah, I just checked to share. I thought we could do it. Do you know if the kids are away? Sorry, Tim.
Heard it, though. We'll just do it Monday. Monday, just have it together. Or Monday, okay?
I apologize to the chair.
Right. We can do it any day. We've already heard it. So. If there's no objections, I'm going to go back to 8:30. You know, I'm probably all my fault because I'm new, but we have a bill sometimes that takes too long and we don't get done with it. I don't know how else to stop that. But actually, it's hard sometimes for everybody to be here at 8. So if there's no objections, I've rescheduled the calendar next week for 8:30 again. And that's where I'm going to leave it.
And Mr. Chair, I
just didn't use the date up as early as I was. Now you changed it.
I want to put the burden on your shoulders. I see some old timers, too, that you never know how bills can go. And the simplest ones could take forever.
I do put the burden on your shoulders, Mr. Chair.
Okay. By the way, the letter I passed out, I have not got a response. Have we got a response from Lieutenant Governor? But, Monday should be interesting. I hope that you guys all make it here so we're talking the Division of Elections. And then a week from Monday, we have Millet Keller.
It's a week from Monday?
And I will be meeting today with staff on that to determine. It'll be in the first confirmation hearing, really, other than the generals that we did. So if anybody has any advice or input or anything on questions, the way to do it, what you want to do, let me know.
I'd like to talk to you later.
And then a week from Monday, we'll have Department of Public Safety. But with everything gone on paper, Monday might be interesting. Right? Anybody else have anything? The next meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will be Monday, April 15th, 1991, at 8:30. At that time, we'll have an overview from the Division of Elections. And for the record, we have invited the Lieutenant Governor with House Bill 167 relating to absentee voting and House Bill 237 relating to state leasing and new buildings. Those are both bills we've already heard once and try to have those ready to go. Nothing else? Thank you for being here. Have a cinnamon roll.